Hello, back for another episode. All right, so in episode 8, we talked about customer retention, building loyalty, and why keeping existing customers is more profitable than chasing new ones. Today, we're going to be talking about how protecting customer data supports long-term trust, brand integrity, and compliance. So why does data protection matter? Data protection matters because with the GDPR, the CCPA, and increasing scrutiny around data privacy, the way you collect it, store, and use data can make or break your reputation.
Okay, so what is data protection? Well, there's a simple definition for that, Chloe, right? And that definition is, data protection is about safely managing personal information, keeping it secure, yeah, private, and used only for the right reasons. And the thing is, in marketing, we need to be thinking about this all the time. You know, data and using personal information to even contact leads and things is hugely important. And these are the things that need to be considered.
Yeah. And there's a huge difference between even like data privacy and data security.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, data privacy is, you know, in fact, there's actually a common confusion between the two of them, right? So let's just clear that up before we go any further. So data privacy is really about who has the right to access the data and how that data is collected, used and shared. Again, this goes back to, you know, marketers, for instance, how they can collect the data, especially when you're reaching out to leads. I mean, this is a big thing that we see all the time. You can't just reach out to people, which a lot of people still do. But it's hugely important that you keep people's data secure, especially when you're collecting it. And you can't just share it with your friends who's got a different business either. You know, that's all part of that whole data privacy.
Yeah.
And really that's about focusing on the consent, remaining transparent, and, of course, remaining compliant within the data protection rules within your country.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that, you've got data security, and really that's all about protecting the data from threats, including hackers and leaks and accidental exposure. And really, as an agency, you know, we've built our own application for to try and protect our clients' data and their leads and everything that's transactioned from their website. Because what we found with a lot of open source software is, especially with software like WordPress and things like that, where they're constantly getting hammered by hackers because the code's available, readily available on the internet, right? So anybody can download it, anybody can understand how it works, and anybody can find those security leaks. And that's how a lot of people's data is leaked on the internet.
Yeah.
So, as an overview, then the privacy is about the rules of the data and who can use it and access it, and the security is about the protection of that data. And we are, being a growth agency, we are involved with both of those.
Yeah. Well, the two go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
So there's different types of data that businesses collect, from email addresses, IPs, purchase history, preferences, behaviours, likes, dislikes.
And a lot of that is used within the marketing and sales department to build personas about people to find out, you know, are these the right people that we should be contacting and things like that. And I mean, when we're talking about different protection laws within different countries, everybody's probably heard of the GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation. That's over in the EU, which includes the UK and things. Now, that came into force way back in 2018, and that governs all EU member states and affects any business processing EU citizens' data, even if it's outside the EU. So even though we have clients in the UK and Spain and things like that, but we're primarily
based in Australia.
Based in Australia, although we've got an office in Scotland, we still need to comply with GDPR. When we're looking at things like in the United States, there's no single federal law, but there's various sector-specific state laws, and the key ones include CCPA, which is the California Consumer Privacy Act, and that only governs California, right? And it applies to for-profit businesses, which handles California residents' data, which meet certain revenue and data thresholds. You've got the Health Insurance Probability and Accountability Act, which is the HIPAA. And if you've probably heard some of these as well, Chloe, because we obviously need to comply to most of these because we provide SaaS applications for marketing and sales teams and B2B businesses and things. Then you've got what's the COPPA, which is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, which governs the entirety of the USA. And you've got the Gram-Leach Blilly Act, or GLBA, which governs USA financial institutions. So overall, the US model is a bit fragmented, business-friendly, sector-specific, rather than having a single GDPR law, which everybody apply to, which would be much easier. And then in Australia, right, we've got the Privacy Act 1998, and that governs the entire country, including Australian government agencies, private sector organisations with an annual turnover of 3 million plus, and some exceptions for smaller organisations if they handle sensitive info and things. So there's quite a lot of, depending on where you're doing business, but you know, as time goes on, the world's becoming smaller and smaller. So a lot of businesses that are in Australia and the UK are transacting with clients and customers in other countries, even e-commerce as well. And you'll see that from what's happening with the USA and these trade laws and things that are going on, and how that's affecting the different countries. You know, it's the same. It's kind of the same kind of thing, you know? So,
Now, there's actually been quite a lot of different data breaches that have had massive real-world consequences that have actually had a huge impact and changed people's lives. So we're going to go through and talk about them. So the first one is Ashley Madison. And now there's just a Netflix documentary that's come out, which I watched about this. So Ashley Madison was a dating site which was designed specifically for people looking to have an affair. The tagline was literally, "Life is short, let's have an affair." In 2015, a hacker group, which was called the Impact Team, breached their systems and stole sensitive user data, which was, you know, phone names, emails, home addresses, credit card information. But here's where really gets quite devastating. They didn't just steal the data, they published that online. So that meant that tens of thousands of people's private lives were exposed overnight.
Crazy, yeah.
This led to multiple lawsuits, reported suicides, and reputational damage that the company has never fully recovered from.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, Chloe. It really is. I mean, that's back in 2015 when, you know, the internet was still quite, I mean, it was coming on, right?
Yeah.
But it was nowhere near where it is now, you know. And now you've got like a recent one as well. Since we're in Australia, we'll talk about it, which was in 2022 with Medibank. Now we're Medibank customers ourselves, you know, and I can tell you know, hand on heart, that you know, there's definitely been a breach where our data has been sold and published online because the amount of rubbish and spam that we're getting is just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so, and Medibank is Australia's largest health, private health insurer, right? And they suffered a cyber attack that exposed the sensitive medical records of almost 10 million customers. How crazy. And I know that there's a a class action being created against them as well, you know. So it's just madness. You would think that, you know, with the amount of money that these businesses are generating on an annual basis, with the amount of data that they're collecting of their customers, that data security and privacy would be at the top of their, you know, at the top of their task list. But yeah. I can tell you that it's not just Medibank or Ashley Madison, even some of the bigger organisations, government included, this that's how it generally is, you know.
And then we've got, how do you say it?
Equifax.
Equifax, okay. Hold on, I'll cut that bit out. And then we have Equifax. So this was not long ago as well, which is in 2017. So this is quite a huge one. So Equifax, one of three major credit bureaus in the US, suffered a breach that exposed sensitive personal data, which was from social security numbers, birth dates, and addresses of 147 million people. This caused vulnerability that they failed to patch. So they actually already knew that this was a problem and they failed to get this fixed. They ended up paying over 700 million in settlements and their reputation took a serious hit.
Crazy.
Now, every single one of these cases are just clear reminders that data protection isn't optional. It is literally essential. When trust is broken, it's hard to earn it back. And in a world where consumers are becoming more privacy conscious, one breach can undo years of brand building.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is exactly why cybersecurity and things does seem to be making a bit of strides forwards, but maybe not as quickly as it probably needs to be. And really, with the advent of AI, where AI can now code for people that are not coders and not programmers, that probably opens up a whole host of other issues that we could talk about, where if you're not a software engineer like I am, for instance, you might not be up to speed with the latest security concerns where, you know, you understand where these securities and loopholes actually exist. So they're publishing software on the web for the little SaaS application, not realising that there's actually a lot of issues with it as well, you know?
Yeah. So why does data protection build brand trust? Because consumers care. 79% of people say that they're concerned about how companies use their data. And trust builds retention. So if customers know that you're protecting their information, they're more than likely to stay loyal to you. Your data practices are part of your brand now, and transparency matters. You need to be...
100%. And again, that's another thing. And it's probably something that we maybe need to talk about more with our customers, you know, why we, you know, I mean, we didn't just build an application for ourselves. There's a lot of things that need to be considered when you're building a website, when you're using CRMs. And I know firsthand that just because there's a bit of software online that you can use from your office doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best bit of software that's most secure for your data. And when we deliver our software, as an example, you know, we do offer a multi-tenant system where there's multiple people, multiple businesses using the same application. But we also offer a single-tenant application, which allows the customer to define where they want their data stored. Do they want their data stored in their country for data governance and things, which allows us to adhere to these other data protection laws and things, depending on where that customer actually resides. So it's really, really important for people to consider this when they're building a website.
Yeah. And another really good example of how Apple use privacy first for their marketing strategy. So Apple turned privacy into a competitive advantage While most tech companies would have just been scrutinized for how they collect and use data, Apple had gone in the opposite direction. So they launched a bold marketing campaign that said, "What happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone." That one tagline sent a clear message: we don't sell your data, we protect it. But it wasn't just about the words either. It showed up in the product design as well. So Apple then eventually rolled out a feature called App Tracking Transparency, where users must opt in before an app can track their activity across other apps and websites.
And the thing is, if you go into your app and you're browsing the web and you close out the browser down, you know, Safari, for instance, it actually tells you how many websites is prevented from tracking you.
Yeah.
You know, and people are being tracked, if no one understands how this works, through cookie-based tracking software like Google Analytics and other tracking software and things. And it's because of this whole privacy-first strategy by Apple that we're moving towards a cookie-less security and things, you know?
Mm. And that hit advertisers and platforms like Facebook pretty hard because it boosted Apple's brand trust and loyalty. So consumers began seeing Apple as a premium tech brand that was a protector of their digital privacy. Increasing aware of data misuse, Apple positioned themselves as a safe choice, which deepened their brand loyalty and justified their premium pricing.
And by the way, this is fantastic from Apple's point of view. But you've got to ask yourself, I mean, if you go into Facebook, you know, and we've all probably been bad for doing it, but you can see there that, you know, there's people, and I've done it as well, right? Uploaded images, you know, I'm now in Vanuatu with my family and this kind of thing. So more and more people are actually sharing more of their private details of where they are, etc. You know, if people are tracking them because they want to break into their house, it's easy for them to do so. But, you know, but as a tech company, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah,
right? there is only so much you can do. We still rely on people actually protecting their own information as well. We can talk about that as we move on.
Yeah. So how do you actually stay compliant and protect your customers' data? First one, understand your laws. Know the regulations that apply to you and your business, whether that's the GDPR, your CCPA, or the Privacy Act in Australia.
Exactly. And as I said earlier about these particular laws, just because you're in Australia, if you've got customers in California, you need to adhere to the CCPA. Right,
yeah.
And if you've got customers in the EU, you need to make sure that you're compliant with GDPR.
Yeah.
And I can tell you now that, you know, if you're not compliant and you're found not to be compliant, there's hefty fines. Hefty fines, and so there should be as well.
Yeah. Number two, only collect what you need. Stop hoarding data. Keep it purposeful, and for your personal use only, or for your business use. Number three is get consent clearly. So use the transparent opt-ins, explain how the data will be used, and allow them to easily opt out as well. Because that's a big thing as well, is when we're in email marketing, you see a lot of companies not have the unsubscribe, which can be quite frustrating, and it does break that brand trust and brand loyalty between you and the customer. When you have that, it gives them that option and they feel like, you know, they've opted into this. So it's their choice. The ball's in their court.
That's right. And most people have seen this, you know, where the pop-up pops up asking about cookies and accepting cookies and things like that. Now, over in the EU, because GDPR is quite strict, you need to actually opt in before any Google Analytics and any cookie type of analytical software is activated on your website. So that's something that should really be done for the customer by their developer or come as part and parcel of the software that they're using.
Yeah. Number four, use secure platforms. Use a secure CRM, email software, website. It all needs to have built-in protection.
Yeah. Well,
that's the biggest one.
One of the biggest issues that most small businesses have got is using open source software. Like WordPress is a prime example, you know, because that code is available online. Hackers can review it line by line to understand where the exploits are. And this is why if you're using this software, that it must be kept up to date constantly. So while it might cost you $100 a month for maintenance and updates, it's pretty certain it's well worth it, especially if you're using e-commerce platforms and things like that as well to keep your data secure. Because if you're found to be your website has been exploited, it's up to you as a business to make sure that you advise all your customers. And that's part of the privacy laws, the data privacy laws, and as well, you know, especially over in the EU, you know, that you need to advise what happened, when it happened, what you're doing about it, and things like that as well. So,
and as a business, that's quite a confronting and somewhat embarrassing thing to have to contact, you know, your clients to say that, you know, something in your business has failed. It can be quite an ego hitter.
That's right. But the thing is, Chloe, this isn't just happening with small businesses. This is happening with big, massive companies like Equifax, Medibank, you know, and that will continue to happen. And I'm not entirely sure why these big organizations don't put their security first. I mean, obviously, I mean, I understand there's a lot of operational things happening within the business, but data security is huge. And as you've already detailed, you know, it can kill your brand.
Yeah. Number five is train your team. So make sure everyone that's handling this data actually knows how to handle the data responsibly. It's a big one. Number six is create a data policy. So outline how you collect, store, and protect their data. We have this on all of our clients' websites, on our website. You have to.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's right. You'll find that in a lot of data privacy laws, that's actually required.
Do you want to say this bit?
So there are common mistakes that can be avoided in order to prevent data breaches and to keep that data private and secure. So the common mistakes are not updating your privacy policy. You know, this should be reviewed at least annually, right?
Yeah.
To make sure that you're adhering to data privacy laws within your country. Pre-ticked opt-in boxes, which is illegal in some countries. We have a pre-ticked option for our newsletter, which can be easily unselected. But in most cases, these should be unchecked so that when they are checked, the user has specifically checked it, right? So it's up to them to make that choice themselves.
Their choice, yeah.
That's right. Not having two-factor authentication or any password protection. I mean, this is even two-factor authentication now is even becoming is becoming almost like old hat as well, right? Because we're now moving into a world of multi-factor authentication. So you've got multiple ways to actually authenticate with different applications. And even with our application, there's many ways to authenticate, even if it's like a one-time passcode via SMS and things like that. We've all experienced it, and you know, they're becoming more common nowadays. Sharing or selling data without your consent. That is an absolute no-no. That just should not happen. That did happen way back in the day when I first got started, you know, where people were sharing and selling data and things like that. And people still buy lists, but generally those cold email lists should actually all be from people which have already consented to the data being used in that manner, although not something I would do myself. And ignoring data breaches or failing to notify users quickly. Again, as we've just just discussed, you know, as part of the, well, certainly GDPR anyway, and Australian Privacy Act, if you do experience any data breaches, whether it's your website, even if you're not managing it per se and you've got another company, if there's been a data breach, you need to advise your customers as quickly as humanly possible. And everything that gets done needs to be written down, needs to be logged, so that all of that can be sent to it's the ICO over in the UK. They'll probably have one here as well, which is the Information Commissioner's Office, because generally they'll be the ones that actually go through, making sure you've actually done everything that you're supposed to do if there has been a breach.
Yeah.
And this is why you see like Medibank and all these other big companies actually telling people on the news, because it gets the information out to everyone. It's just unfortunate that gets out to people that were maybe considering moving to Medibank as an example, and then maybe they'll think twice about that.
Yeah, and they choose not to.
That's right. And you know, the thing is that there are tools and tech that can help you stay secure, right? Make sure you're using trusted platforms with built-in compliance. You know, if you're using a CRM or like HubSpot, for instance, or email marketing like MailChimp or e-commerce like Shopify, a lot of these SaaS applications need to be compliant with HIPAA, SOC2, you know, the GDPR, things like that, in order to service customers in those particular companies. So stay with trusted platforms. Make sure that you're using cookie consent properly. There are cookie consent managers out there like OneTrust and CookieBot, and a lot of developers like ourselves, we develop our own ones. And from a development point of view, they're not hard to implement either. But if you need something quick, or you want something where you're getting reports and things like that, then one of the consent managers is probably your best bet. Using encryption tools and secure cloud storage, again, your developers can advise on this as well. Encryption tools, I mean, a lot of this should really be left to the tech providers, like SSL for secure website browsing, TLS, etc., etc., making sure that the transactions between your browser and the server are secure, you know, so that they're not intercepted by hackers and things. And then you've got other tech like Google Analytics 4, which has privacy friendly tracking options. So now if you're installing Google Analytics 4, you actually have to tell the system when you're setting up which country you're in. So if you say that you're in the UK, then it'll automatically flag at the top for you to actually go through a process where you tell it that you're using a cookie consent for the EU, as an example. Now, because Google Analytics 4 shouldn't be activated until that consent has been applied, they can actually detect if it's available on your website or not. So, and you'll there's things your developers can do for to resolve that for you. But it's really trying to remain secure, always be vigilant, making sure you're using trusted software applications. It's just really important to make sure that you're keeping your customers' data as secure and private as possible.
And would you recommend them to have a specific CRM, CMS for themselves, that's custom built for them, like what we offer?
Yeah, well, I mean, you could certainly use our platform, which includes all this stuff. I mean, we've probably taken our security practices a step further, whereby any emails that are sent from our contact form. I mean, those are secured by Google Recaptcha anyway, but we also put other spam protections on our contact forms and things to check spam filters, to see, find out if those emails have been registered as spam accounts. We also have in admin, you can actually prevent anybody accessing various parts of the site, which includes admin, the user section, even the login page, right? We've put in middleware to, you know, that detects what your IP address is. So if your IP address is not within that list, then you don't get access to the login page.
Mm.
So that actually prevents a lot of brute force attacks and things like that as well.
Yeah.
Which is great, because initially we had a system in place where it detected the, and this still actually happens even if you've got access to the login page, that if you fail to log in three times, it automatically blocks you from the site. Then you need to contact us. But because we were still getting brute force attacks with the login page and things, we put these other security measures in place to completely stop it altogether. So we probably take security to another level, if you like. But certainly all of this stuff, like multi-factor authentication, cookie consent, and all that kind of stuff is already integrated into our application. There are other platforms that people can use. You know, HubSpot have it. A lot of the bigger players have a lot of these up-to-date security practices for logging in, for sending forms, and all that kind of stuff. So it's worth sticking with what you know.
Yeah, 100% agree. And we've seen that with one of our clients recently that we've just taken over. They were on WordPress, and they had multiple emails, but one of their emails had 30,000 spam emails in there. 30,000 is... And now they're on our platform and they're not getting any spam emails, which is great.
And the thing is, you'll find that that's more common than what people really understand. People don't need to be dealing with spam. It's just because their website's probably set up wrong. I personally wouldn't put our email address on our website just solely because that can be picked up by bots and things, although we've got security in place for that as well to prevent that actually happening. But a lot of other websites where they have the email, I mean, I'm not saying don't have your email. You can have your email. Just make sure that you have the security in place to hide it from the bots that are scraping your website, because that happens almost on a daily basis. It doesn't matter if you're the smallest business in the planet or the largest business in the planet. Your website, there's hackers trying to get into your website today without you realising.
Every second, yeah.
You know, it's happening all the time.
We see that in the logs, hey. And it's a lot of WordPress
related.
I've noticed in the logs, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for today. So a few closing statements and takeaways for today's episode. Some key reminders are data protection equals customer protection. Privacy builds loyalty. And compliance is not just legal, it's good business. So challenge for your viewers today. Review your data collection and your privacy policy this week. Make sure it aligns with best practices and regulations wherever you are in the world. And yeah, awesome. That's us for today.
Fantastic. Awesome. Good stuff. And I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.